Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
They didn't take off yet this weekend. Hope you guys have a great break. We look forward to seeing you next semester. And for those of you that are not going to be back, well, we're going to miss you. And we just pray for God's best on your journey. And stay close to Him. Walk with Him. Find a good church wherever you're going and get plugged into that. But we just appreciate you guys. And so happy that you made it through finals and you're still alive. I know my daughter down in Texas made it through finals, and she is so thankful. But, you know, this morning, as you saw the kids up here, they're playing the bells and everything. What thoughts come to your mind? What images come to mind? What do you think about when you see the kids up here playing the bells? How many of you had kids up here? You were, that's my kid. That's my grandkid. And you're just zeroed in on that one. You were oblivious to all the others, huh? Hey, I have kids. My daughter's sick today, so she wasn't up here. But I know I pretty much zero in on my kid. And children really bring home this whole thought of home, of family. And to a lot of people, that's what Christmas means to them. It's about home. It's about family. It's about getting together with other family members and eating grandma's fruitcake, which also serves as a great doorstop or a paperweight. It means, you know, traveling hundreds of miles to get together with family with the prayer that the kids don't kill each other or drive the parents insane before they arrive, huh? Been there, done that? You know, what does Christmas mean? It means this whole theme of home and family. A lot of the songs talk about home or being with the ones you love. You know, I'll be home for Christmas. Or there's no place like home for the holidays. You know, even Elvis Presley got into it when he said, I'll have a blue Christmas without you. You know, it's about getting together with people that you love. And the thing that we need to realize, though, is that when it comes to Christmas and family, God has an expanded version of family. It's not just our blood relatives, but God desires to be a father to us, and He desires His church to be a family together. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul is writing to Christians in Ephesus, and he says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Christians are members of God's household. We're members of His family. Or in the words of Sister Sledge, we are family. And that's what we are. We are family. If you are a Christ follower, then you're part of a family that's bigger than your own biological family. Now, maybe this is your first time in church. Maybe you're not a Christ follower, and you're sitting here thinking today, wait a second, Craig. There is no way church is like a family. There's no way church is like a home, like a household, because maybe you've had an experience where you were hurt by someone in the church. Matter of fact, this might be the first time you've been in church for years, and you don't even know why you came, that maybe someone dragged you here, maybe they promised you a free lunch. You know what? We're glad you're here. But maybe you've been hurt in the past. Maybe someone you did business with, they were a Christian, and they gave you the raw end of the deal. Or maybe a group of Christians gossiped about you and spread lies about you. Or possibly someone embarrassed you. Maybe you were a little kid or a youth, a teenager, and someone in the church embarrassed you and says, that's it, I'm never going back. And a lot of times when people get hurt, and I've heard stories of this, they get hurt by a Christian and they say, that's it, I'm done with God, I'm done with the church. If that's what Christians are like, you can keep it. Let me ask you this. How many have known someone that has been in a car accident? Yeah, there's a lot of reckless people out there, aren't there? Now, just because there are reckless people and they cause accidents, and sometimes they hurt or even kill people we love, does that mean you've stopped driving an automobile? How many of you came today in a vehicle? Most of you did. How many walked? I don't see any hands. We all use a vehicle, even though some people misuse them. We just don't throw them out. And I want to encourage you, if a Christian has been reckless or a group of Christians has been reckless and have hurt you, don't throw out God, don't throw out the church just because of a few bad apples, okay? Because you will never experience what God has for you as long as you harbor this bitterness, this anger, this hatred, this isolationism against His family. God desires to give us something, but we can only experience that if we're willing to embrace His community that He has established. I want you to know, Christians are not perfect, okay? We mess up. I've hurt people. I have been hurt by Christians. Matter of fact, I would say some of the greatest hurts in my life have been by Christ followers. Yeah, it shouldn't be that way. I'm sorry if that's happened to you. I'm sorry if someone betrayed you or embarrassed you or shunned you or did something horrible to you, stole from you, wronged you, cheated you, and they were supposedly a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry that happened. It shouldn't have happened. Give us a second chance and never give up on God. Never give up on God, no matter what you've been through. Now, this morning, I want to talk about if we are to be a home and a family, then what does that look like? What does that look like, okay? So if you have your notes this morning, take out your bulletin, and on the back of your bulletin is the sermon section. And it says, what Christmas means to me. And there are three things we're going to talk about. If we think about home, what home is to us, and how that applies to us, how it applies to the church. Point number one, home is a place of hugs and hospitality. Home is a place of hugs and hospitality. When you come home, you're welcomed with hugs. Hey, it's good to see you. You're welcomed with hospitality. You know, it's come on in. You know, warm up. You know, they don't say, well, you can just stand out there in the cold and sit out there on the front doorstep. You're not coming in. No, you're welcomed. You're accepted. There is an open door of reception. Home is a place of warmth. It's a place of belonging. It's a safe place. And that's what God wants His church and His people to be. That's what God wants to give us, a place of hugs and hospitality. Let's take a look at our text this morning, John 14, verse 23. And Jesus is talking here. The Apostle John, who is one of Jesus' best friends, recorded what Jesus said. And get this, Jesus said it the night that He was going to be betrayed, the night before He died. And do you know who betrayed Him? The pastors. The priests, church people. So when Jesus talks about being in community and being a home with fellow believers, He knows He's been betrayed. He's been hurt by church people too. Yet that did not keep Him from going out to the Father and going after relationship with Christ followers. Don't let that stop you. This is what Jesus said. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Did you catch what Jesus said? My Father will love him. That's a guarantee. It's not a maybe. God will love you. It's not a maybe. It's not if. It's a certainty. He won't reject you. He'll receive you. And Jesus went on to say, I and my Father will come and make our home with Him. I want you to let that sink in. God wants to make His home with you, in you. He wants to live in you. He doesn't want to be distant and far away. He wants to have His home, His dwelling place inside of you because He wants to be close to you. God wants to move into our lives and take up residence and be there for us. He's not a stern, austere father who's withdrawn and uninvolved in our lives. He's a loving, caring father who really wants to be close to us. He welcomes us, wants to be our friend, and make his home in us. And as a church, God wants his church, he wants those of us who are Christ followers to be a home for all people, for the young and the old, for the rich, for the poor, for those that are well-known and for those that are seemingly insignificant, for light-skinned people, for dark-skinned people, and for people of every shade in between. He wants his people, his church, to be a community where love, warmth, acceptance, honesty, fairness, and belonging are found. Because that's what a home should be about. That's what a home should be about. And for some of us, that's not the home we experienced. For some of us, you think a thought's a home, and instead of it creating a warm, fuzzy feeling, it might even create a repulsion in your life. Because home to you was a place of pain, a place of hurt, a place of criticism, a place of suffering, a place of isolation. And the holidays can really amplify those feelings. For a lot of people, instead of, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year, the holidays are the most horrible time of year. There's a lot of different situations that can create that. Here's one. Maybe you've gotten into an argument with a family member a long time ago, and you haven't spoken with them ever since. There was a Christmas movie called Home Alone. How many remember that? A little boy accidentally got left home alone while his family, aunts and uncles, parents, brothers, sisters, cousins, all went to Paris. And he's left home alone. And there was a gentleman, it was old man Marley, who carried around a shovel, and he was nicknamed by the kids in the neighborhood the South Bend Shovel Slayer. And it was reported that in 1958, he killed his entire family and half the people on the block. And he ground up their remains and he put it with salt, and he goes around the neighborhood shoveling the remains and spreading the salt. He was never caught, but he's in the neighborhood. Well, as Kevin got to know old man Marley, he discovered that that wasn't true, but that old man Marley lived alone and never saw anyone because years earlier he had gotten into an argument with his son, and he doesn't even remember what the argument was about. But they both said to each other, "We never want to see you again. I never want to see you again. Never want to talk to you." And it had been years. And old man Marley was afraid to call. He wanted to call his son, but he was afraid to call his son if he would say no. And Kevin said, "Well, you can stop being afraid if you would just call him, because then you'll know if it's yes or no. If it's yes, you've gained something, but if it's no, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You're done with it and you go on with it." And there may be some of you here, something happened weeks or months or even years ago where you got in an argument and you said to a family member, "I don't want to talk to you again," and you've been silent. There's a divide. And maybe you're afraid to call them. I want to encourage you today. Let go of the fear. Let go of the anger. Let go of the grudge. And call them. Apologize for what you've done wrong. Because that's how you begin to create a home of what God intended a home to be. Let go of the pain. You know, another situation that sometimes causes pain over the holidays is divorce. And you can see this in the movie The Santa Claus. Remember Tim Allen? He scares Santa off the roof and Santa dies. He puts on the suit and he becomes Saint Nick. But Scott Calvin, Tim Allen, was divorced from his wife, Laura. She remarried a psychologist, Neil, who wore beautiful sweaters, a lot more beautiful than this plain brown thing I have on. And their son, Charlie, Laura and Scott's son, Charlie, was caught in the middle. And all throughout the movie, you can see there's pain, there's loneliness, sometimes with Scott, sometimes with Charlie, sometimes with Laura and Neil. And there's this whole mess. And divorce can cause pain and isolation during the holidays. This morning, I want to encourage you to try to work things out. If you are split apart, don't talk bad about the other one. That's just going to make things worse. And try to be as friendly as possible. And I realize it takes two, okay? Jesus said to those who are Christ followers, to bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Love your enemies and pray for those who spitefully persecute you and use you. And if that's your situation in your marriage and your divorce and remarriage and all that stuff, pray for them, love them, do good. Don't retaliate with wrong. And just say, God, I'm leaving it up to you. Don't let anger or resentment build up inside. Sometimes the holidays are painful because of death. In the movie The Christmas Shoes, there was a mom who found out she was dying, and her little boy wanted to buy her this pair of dancing shoes so that when she went to meet Jesus, she could meet him with these pretty Christmas dancing shoes. And sometimes some of us have lost loved ones. And instead of a time when family's getting together, we realize that that family member's missing. And it just creates a hole in our heart. Whatever your situation is today, whether it's divorce, death, family conflict, or even something else, maybe it's just your family's far apart, hundreds of miles away, and they can't get together. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to let God be a comfort to you. We're told, Isaiah the prophet recorded what God said to his people. In Isaiah 49:15, it says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. Yeah, in some cases, there's some moms who might do that. But yet, I will not forget you. God has said he will not forget you. Later on, Isaiah wrote this. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. Friends, look at those two promises. God promises, I will not forget you, and I will comfort you. And so if you're experiencing pain this morning, you're experiencing a difficult time during the holidays, let God comfort you. He said, I will do it. Receive his comfort. Let go of those things. God has not forgotten you. He wants to come and set up his home inside of you so that you experience his hugs, his love, his acceptance, his hospitality, his welcoming. He doesn't want you to feel ostracized and out in the cold this time of the year. God wants to make his home in you. That's the first thing that we realize about how God feels about us and what Christmas should be, a time of home, not just with family, but a time of home with God. Take a look at your notes. The second thing we see about home, the second aspect of home that God wants you and I to have in our lives is that home is a place of help. Home is a place of help. When I need help, I can turn to home. Before we moved to Wyoming 5 years ago, we lived in Iowa, northwest Iowa. We were like 45 minutes from my dad and about an hour from my wife's father. And I tell you, both of them are handymen. They can fix almost anything. That family trait did not pass down to me. I am not a handyman. I'm not that good. I can do some things, and I'm a whole lot better now than I was when we first were married, but still. And there were many times where my father or father-in-law, they would help fix our cars. They'd help on a home project. You know, they'd give practical advice. Yesterday, my wife was calling her dad. Dad, what do I do now? What do I do now? I mean, it was a place to go for help. There was one time where we experienced capital gains where we sold our home and we bought a new one and we thought we'd bought it in time, but we didn't realize that we had to be living in the home within the time frame the government set. And we weren't. We were off 2 months because we let the couple stay there and finish the school year out with their kids before they moved to a different town. We got socked with thousands of dollars in capital gains tax. We didn't have it because we threw all the money in the down payment and the closing fees and all that. I had to borrow from my folks and then we paid them off. Family is a place to help one another. And that's what God desires his church to be. And that's what God wants to do for you. Take a look at verse 26. Jesus said, but the helper, circle that word, the helper, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That word helper actually means one called alongside to help, so that he is walking right by your side. He's not like some of these places that you call for help and you're put on hold. This past week, I had to call my insurance company, and I had to call the home company, the phone company, and also a warranty company. I was on hold for 20 minutes with each one. And in one scenario, and all I needed to do was say, I need this department, this one department. It took 20 minutes to talk to someone live, and I says, okay, can you hold, please? And it was another 10 minutes. Friends, when you call out to God and say help, it's not like, can you hold, please? And then you got this, do, 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 elevator music, you know. No, God is instant. He's on the scene. He is there to help you. The Holy Spirit is called alongside, walking with you. He's with you. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And God is here to help you today. He's here to help you today. Whatever you're going through, call out to him. He's here. And again, you might not sense he's there, but he is. He said in Isaiah, I won't forget you. I'll comfort you. I will help you. I am here. I will not leave you an orphan. I will be with you. That's his promise. I know some people who think God is too busy running the universe, and so I can't bother him with my problems. He's too busy for that. I know some people that they really don't have a deep prayer life. They don't really have much intimacy with Christ because that's their feeling. Friends, God wants you to come to him with anything. He says in Luke chapter 12, verse 6, I did not give this scripture to the media team early enough, but Luke 12, 6, it talks about that God is watching over all the sparrows. He's watching over the sparrows. He knows when one falls to the ground. But then he says, you are more valuable than sparrows. And friends, if God can take care of the tiny sparrow, then don't you think God wants to take care of the tiny little things in your life? God wants us to develop a relationship with him that we're bringing everything, big and small, crisis and seemingly insignificant, trivial things to him, because he's a close God. Parents, you have kids. How many times do your kids run to you with something little or trivia? You know, they got a hangnail. Oh, it hurts. That's okay. And we listen to them and say, hey, it's not that bad. And have a good attitude. Don't whine, that kind of thing. But we're there. We listen to our kids even in the little stuff. And God wants to be our Father, make a home with us. He cares about the little things. Begin to develop this closeness. Allow God to help you. Many times God helps us through other Christ followers. He helps us through members of his own family, people who are Christians. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the Christ followers who were in the city of Galatia in Galatians 6, verse 10. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Friends, if you're a Christ follower, then Jesus wants you and I to operate out of the same spirit of kindness and acceptance and generosity and help and care and compassion that he gives to us. And so we talked about in verse 23, he says the Holy Spirit's our helper and he will teach you. Do you realize the Holy Spirit just doesn't want to bless you and help you, but he wants to teach you? I want you to help this person. I want to reveal things to you. I want you to extend my love and my care and my compassion. The Holy Spirit will teach us if we're willing to walk in this relationship of God's my Father, I am his son, I am his daughter, and Lord, how do you want me to help your family, help those outside of the family to bring them into the family? That's what God wants for us, his church, to be a people that just aren't caught up with, oh, bless me, Jesus, help me here, help me that, but that we are blessings to others. That's what home is about. A place where God helps us and we help others. That's what home is about. The last thing we want to take a look at as we talk about home today and what God wants in our lives is that home, number three in your notes, home is a place of accountability. Home is a place of accountability. You and I just can't live any old way we want. Good parents have boundaries and limits for their kids, right? Come on, help me here. Good parents. Do we have any good parents out there? I think we do. I thought we did. How many let your kids play with matches? All the kids are raising their hand. Okay, parents, you saw what they're doing on the side. Talk to them after church, okay? You know, you don't let them light the dog's tail on fire. How many of your parents would give your kids a curfew? You know, how many kids wish you didn't have a curfew? Yeah. There are limits and boundaries. You just can't do what you want to do. Otherwise, your home is one of chaos and confusion and selfishness and self-absorption. And friends, God's house is the same way. Let's take a look at verse 23 again. We like the last part of the verse, for my Father will love him and he'll come to him and make a home with him. But look at the first part of the verse. Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come and make a home in him. That conjunction and links loving Jesus and obeying him, following the house rules with being loved by God and having him set up a home in us. You see, it's not just, well, God, yeah, come into my life, I love you, and then I'm going to go do whatever I want, and you just keep blessing me and make a home in me and do everything for me. No. As a Christ follower, I realize that Dad, my Heavenly Father, is the head of the home. And he has house rules, and he rules, and I need to be a Christ follower and follow the leader. I follow him. And so my life is one of humility, or of submission, of obedience, because if I love someone, I'm not going to do things that displease them and hurt my relationship with them. If I love my wife, I'm going to please my wife. I'm going to protect the relationship and not hurt her. And that's what God wants from us. God does not hurt us. Sometimes we think he does hurt us. He's allowed things in our life. And then we say, forget it. God will not hurt you. Now, there are sometimes God allows us to go through things. How many of you have ever disciplined your kids with a timeout or a grounding or corporal punishment or something? Yeah. And it doesn't feel good. Ow! You know, we don't like it, but there's sometimes God allows things to happen because he knows it's for our growth. A little kid is crawling on the floor and you've got the oven open. You're bringing out Christmas cookies and that little toddler wants to touch the hot oven. Do you let him? No. You might take his hand and hold it really close so he feels the heat. When he feels the heat, he jerks it back. That's a good way to teach a kid. That little bit of pain right there taught them you don't want to touch that. Or they keep going for it. You slap his hand. That's a no. Say it with me. No. How many of you ever said no to your kids before? Yeah, everyone on the planet. And sometimes God says no to us because we're trying to touch the hot stove. And he says, no, no, no. How many times do I have to tell you? Home is a place of accountability. I just can't do what I want. It's about living a life that pleases God. I can't be a rebel in his house and expect to enjoy all of his blessings. If I love Jesus, then obedience and submission is my natural response. And so I want you to take a few minutes this morning. I want you just to think right now, how are you doing at following the house rules? Are you doing what Dad wants? Are you doing what your Heavenly Father wants? I want you to think about this. Is there some sin that you're committing that you know displeases God? Is there any sin you're committing that displeases God and you need to turn from it in your life? Is there something God's been speaking to you about, he's been asking you to do, and you've been ignoring it? No, God, you keep pushing it away. Maybe there's someone that has offended you, and you know you need to forgive him, but you're saying, God, I don't want to do that. And he's saying, yeah, do it. You can't experience what I have for you until you forgive and you let that offense go. At the top of the message, I talked about Christians hurting non-Christians. And maybe you're here today and God has pinpointed something in you that you have wronged someone. Maybe someone, they're not following Christ today. They've rejected the church because of something that you or I did. If God does, I want you to track them down and apologize. Or maybe in your own family situation, you were the dirty, rotten scoundrel that caused the pain, that caused the hurt, that has caused the isolation. And you need to make amends. You need to make restitution. You need to make things right. What is God saying to you in your life about this place of accountability of following him and doing things his way?
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.